Hello, everybody. This is Stanley Ray, a.k.a. God's Idiot Abroad, coming to you from the orchard at Shatipi. Shatipi is a small village market just outside of Lilongwe, the capital of Malawi. The orchard is a brand new bed and breakfast venture that I've tried to start up this year in order to become self-sustainable. So I'm coming to you from there. This is a beautiful place, a beautiful house. If you plan on coming, you, your teams, any of your friends, colleagues plan on coming to Malawi anytime soon, 2022, then definitely book us. You can find us on Airbnb. We are there. We are on Facebook. We are across all social media. The Orchard at Shatipi. This is a magnificent place. We have a swimming pool. We have a restaurant and bar. We have everything you could ever need to stay comfortably, safely here just outside Lilongwe, the capital of Malawi. Plan on coming to visit Malawi. So now that that plug is over, I want to kind of move on quickly. I want to get into a little bit on this special podcast because this year has been for many people, not just for me, not just for other missionaries, but for many, many people. Obviously, this year just continues to be like 2020 and be a very turbulent time, especially for my friends outside of Malawi. Malawi is pretty protected right now from COVID. And so our friends outside Malawi, our friends in the US, our friends in the UK and Australia and around the globe are more impacted, believe it or not, than the folks here in Malawi. And so we have been spared a lot of the turmoil from a COVID standpoint directly, not a lot of deaths, not a lot of illness, but we have had the impact financially, and it's been up and down for everybody here. That and also includes missionaries and those that live off of support. And so wanted to give you that kind of picture. It's been a turbulent year for a lot of reasons in that regard, and then also personally coming out of a very safe and secure area in Area 6 where I was staying now to kind of create a life and income stream for a potential family as I look to stay here in Malawi very long term. I've already been here 4 years. So as you go through turbulent years, or as you go through turbulent times, you want to stop and take stock and say, okay, like what is the reason I'm here? A lot of people don't know. A lot of people think I'm crazy. A lot of people think I'm stupid for doing what I did. I'll get into that, what I did here in just a little bit. But personally, you have to stop, take a breath, and take stock of your why. I have to ask myself sometimes, especially with things that have gone on lately, why am I here? Why am I still here? Why does God have me in this place, doing this thing, going through these things, when sometimes we feel like, okay, God, I've already done this for the mission and for the kingdom, and I need some reassurance that everything is going the right way, that I'm still on the right path. When you give up a lot of things for the kingdom, when you sacrifice a lot of things for the kingdom, the humanness of our wicked, wicked heart and our mind and our pride says, okay, God, you owe me this. And so when those things don't develop, or you think you're going down a path and that path falls apart, whether it's financial or whether it's personal, relationships, job, career path, even if it's in the ministry and it doesn't work out the way we think it should, we question God. And it's okay to question God. It says it in the Bible. Many of God's fantastic leaders and men and women that are in the Bible as examples question God. And so what they all did was have to come back to their why. And so that's what I want to do in this special episode. I hope you stick with me. I hope to make it as brief as possible. I hope that instead of talking politics or getting into COVID issues and these type things or normal family squabbles around Thanksgiving, around this holiday weekend for a lot of people as we go into festive and Christmas season and holiday season for a lot of people around the globe, this weekend kicks that off. So as we go into that, there are a lot of negative things that we can talk about, but I hope this gives you some substance where you can say, hey, you know, I listened to this crazy guy on this podcast. He's in Malawi. Or, hey, do you guys remember Stan? Some people have probably forgotten, out of sight, out of mind. If you don't follow me on Facebook, and not a lot of folks, I don't have 5,000 followers and I'm not a public figure, quote unquote. So you may not follow along every day, or you may just get bits and pieces, or you may not see anything. And so this gives us another way to kind of communicate, gives me a way to communicate my story, the why, and then it's lethargic for me, therapeutic for me, because it's, gives me an opportunity to refresh my own mind, my own heart, my own spirit as to the why, how I got here and the why, and then what is next. And I want to talk about not only just how I got here to Malawi, but I want to talk about how I got here sitting in this chair in this huge, almost mansion-like house, 5 bedrooms, swimming pool, center courtyard, owner's cottage. Like, this place is fantastic. Beautiful trees all around that we have revived from almost death whenever we got here a few months ago, 3 months ago, almost exactly. And so, like, how did I get here? And then how did I get in the financial situation that I'm in? And so a lot of people think it's crazy. Why would you do something like that? You know, get such a big place if you rely on support. And I want to go into that story a little bit, kind of explain that away, and so you'll understand it. But I want to start out with a little bit of history, brief history for those who don't know. So I am a 48-year-old man from Arkansas. I was born in Amarillo, Texas, lived in Oklahoma for a little bit, a beautiful town called Moreland, and have a lot of fond memories of that place. And then moved to Arkansas just as I was becoming a teenager, going into what we would call junior high or seventh grade. That's where I lived and grew up and went through high school and a little bit of college, and then started my transportation career. So that is the nucleus of my family. That is where mom is. Hey, Anita Miracle, if you can listen to this, love you, miss you, mom. And then my brothers are around mom. I have 3 brothers that are there, and then I have 2 sisters that are outside there. One is in Oklahoma, one's in Arizona. And so, That's a little background on the family, a little background of coming from Arkansas. I grew up in that area, and in that area, you have Walmart, Tyson, and J.B. Hunt, 3 mega corporations that I always say you have to work for at least one of those before they let you out of Arkansas. But I did work for one of them. I worked for 2 of them, actually. But J.B. Hunt is where I spent almost 25 years. I spent 23 years at J.B. Hunt before I retired and came to Africa. Now, I didn't retire. Obviously, I was 43 at the time. I did not retire rich. I did not retire wealthy. I had a little bit of money set aside. I had gone through a divorce a year and a half earlier, and that ate a lot of money. And so I didn't have a huge bank account whenever I came here, the point of that brief side story. But like, J.B. Hunt was very good to me. I learned a lot of lessons. I had great mentors, and it really, really shaped who I am and what I do. And that, you know, transportation logistics is my background. I love the company. I didn't leave on a bad note. I left to come and do this work, and gave a 6-month notice, and really was supported the entire time by the J.B. Hunt family. And I will always be grateful for them. Love them all for everything they did. And so that's kind of the background of me in a couple of minutes. But getting to the why and how I ended up here doing this work, as I went through that divorce, you know, divorce changes everybody, and it should. You know, it should make you act better, be better, definitely think about your life a little bit more. And that's kind of where I was at. So I'm coming out of that, and I'm looking at the possible promotion that's ahead of me. I'm one of several being groomed for potential promotion into a senior vice. I was a vice president at the time. So senior vice president was the next step up the ladder. And so I was being groomed a bit along with several other people for a potential shift into one of these upper level positions. And I really was looking at that job and that career and that lifestyle as now a single guy. I didn't have any desire to get remarried. I don't have any children walking the earth. And so I was looking at that and saying, okay, is this really what I want to do? And that really kept eating me. I loved my job. I love the possibility of doing that job, but that comes with such a long-term commitment that once you step into that role, I'm not going to say you can't step out, but I am going to say you owe the company, you owe the people that invested in you and did all of the things to get you to that level and introduce you to, you know, people in Washington, D.C., introduced you to, you know, not only politicians, but other association members and very high level people in the transportation logistics industry and throughout the supply chain. Once you go through that, you can't just say 3 months later, oh, you know, I'm really sorry. This isn't really what I wanted to do. So I knew that. I wanted to be responsible with that appointment. So I had a talk with my boss at the time, who was a fantastic mentor. Love the guy to this day. We still chat back and forth every once in a while. But I had a talk with him, and I could always have an open and frank talk with him. And I said, hey, man, I'm just not sure this is what I want to do. You know, I went through this thing personally. It really changed me and changed my perspective. And I really started thinking about what is my legacy. Now, some people that know me after the divorce, that know me my whole life, and then especially after the divorce, know that, man, I had a nice house. I love to throw pool parties and love to have people over. And like, I was a weekend warrior and really loved to party it out. So it's going to be hard for some of them, and it is hard for some of those folks to look and say, whatever, man, like, we know you, we know this is your lifestyle. But I really started to have a change of heart, even going through all that, looking around going, is this what I want my legacy to be? Is this what I want my lifestyle to be like forever? It's unsustainable. Nobody can do it. Nobody can do it and keep their faculties about them and keep their friends about them and not be thrown in jail or prison many times. And so, like, I started to look at that and say, this is just not what I want. And I knew that next step on that lifestyle or on that career ladder would exacerbate that. It'd be more money. It'd be more freedom. It'd be more travel. It'd be all the things that can lead a single, free-willing, fun-loving, party animal person to their death or to hurt other people or to really destroy a lot of things, including your career. And so, like, I knew I didn't want that as my legacy. So I started to become a little bit more spiritual, and I started to go to our Bible studies on Friday morning, which Greer, my boss, my former boss and mentor, would host in the HR department. Like, I loved that. I don't even know if he does it today still in the HR department, but I love JB Hunt for just their open-mindedness and the acceptance of, you know, a lot of different beliefs and lifestyles. Like, I do love that. We should just all love each other, right? And so he would host our Friday Bible study in the HR department for an hour every Friday. And a lot of times I made it more than I missed it. It was early, but like, it really started to impact me. And we started to learn about the Bible and we started to learn about things, and it really got a hold of me. I was saved as a child when I was, I was 10 years old at the time, 9 years old at the time, sorry. And I remember it was a Baptist tent revival in the public park in Moreland, Oklahoma. I remember it to this day. I remember being baptized a few weeks later at the Baptist church in Moreland, Oklahoma. Like, I do remember that. And I remember it taking hold as a kid. And then I remember all of the rest of my life up until a few years ago, I did not walk a path. I knew the Bible a bit. I knew scripture from mom, and I knew what I should be doing. And I was doing the exact opposite almost every chance I got. And so that was my lifestyle. So as I'm getting older and as I've gone through this life change, as I'm a single guy with no kids on earth, I really started to think about, again, my legacy. And then as I got more spiritual with it, and Greer and I and these guys that would meet every Friday, we started to have these really serious discussions about, okay, you know, what does it mean to be a spiritual person? What does it mean to be a Christian? what does it mean to walk in a Christian light? I'm like, that is what I've got to do. Like I've screwed it up all these years with all these young people that I had the chance to mentor into a more spiritual lifestyle. I taught them how to work hard, play hard. That's what I did. And if they're out there listening, I'm sorry about that. I hope it didn't mess you up too much, but that is definitely a regret. And so as I started to realize these things and my mind started to shift and the spirit started to move inside me, like, man, I've got to do something else. I cannot continue down this lifestyle, down this road. And so really started to evaluate all of that, and that included my legacy. And not that moving up the corporate ladder isn't a good legacy, and not that single people can't move up the corporate ladder and leave a good legacy, but it didn't feel right to me. Excuse me. It didn't feel right to me. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get off the train, you know? And I had a really frank, honest talk with Greer. And I said, well, you know, I mean, honestly, there's a part of me that thinks I can go down to, you know, Florida and, you know, be down there for a couple of years and live on the beach and, you know, do all that. And then we both kind of looked at each other and said, that's probably not going to lead to a good place and where I want to be spiritually, even though the beach is cool. I lived in Daytona for 7 years. I loved every minute of that, doing all the wrong things. And so he said, go home, pray about it. And so I did over the weekend, and I came back and I said, okay, like maybe mission work. Like I love to travel. I love to meet new people. I've never met a stranger, and I love everything about what I've researched over the weekend. As it hit my heart that, you know, being a missionary out in the world, going on trips a few times a year, keeping my job, you know, slowing down on the corporate ladder kind of thing, and just doing that. I'm like, okay, that sounds pretty good. And Greer said, okay, I know this guy who works for us, and he just came back from Africa. He is probably going again, from what people are saying, for short-term mission, taking some short-term mission teams over, and maybe you can link up with him. And so I did. And I don't want to say like the rest is history. I will say this about that first trip over with that organization. Like I've already talked about my lifestyle and party animal kind of lifestyle. And those 2 weeks that I was over there, I was the oldest person on the bus, except maybe the Malawian driver. He was an older fella. But the rest of them were, I think, the next closest person to me at the time. I was 42 or 43. Next closest person to me at the time, I want to say it was 36 or 37. And so the rest of them were younger. The rest of them, you know, and then we had a big group of kids. And so I rode around Malawi, Africa in that bus singing Christian songs that I didn't even know I knew. And some of them I definitely didn't know, but I was having a good time, and I had chills the whole time. I had a buzz the whole time. And so that wasn't manufactured. It wasn't fake. It was beautiful. Everything about it, I still remember, you know, very vividly. So I was obviously taken with the trip and everything that it was about. And it was very impactful for me. It was so impactful that I came back and went again 3 times in the next year. And the third time I went, I knew I was going back to Greer, going back to J.B. Hunt, and I knew I was going to resign. I knew I was going to move to Malawi. I knew it. There was no doubt. And so then I came back a couple of months after I gave my resignation and brought a team. Every time I came, I still had the same feeling. It was still beautiful, spiritual. It moved me in my soul. And so I couldn't shake that, and I couldn't let it go. And I knew that this is what God wanted me to do. It was a better legacy. It was a better answer when I get to the gates. When Jesus says, you know, what did you do? What have you done for the kingdom? It's just a better answer than what I had previously. I didn't have any answer previously. Be a jackass and ignore all of the teachings, Lord and Savior, is not a good answer to Jesus. So if that's your answer right now, I encourage you, move swiftly and find a better answer. Start working toward a better answer than I raised good kids. I had a good job title. I retired rich. I had all these things when I retired. Like, it's all cliche and we all talk about it every day, but is that what's your answer? And so that really was boiled, that really boils down my why, is that, that's why I am here. I wanted a better answer for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ when he says, did I know you? What did you do? You know, not just what were your works, but did I know you? Did you walk with me at all? Did you talk to me at all? Did we have a relationship truly, or were you faking it? And so that really did boil down my why. And so after waiting out a 6-month notice at J.B. Hunt, I moved over here in September of 2017. So I've been over here a little over 4 years, and a lot of ups and downs. I just got out of a 3-year relationship that I thought was going to be the one. You know, you never know what God has planned and why he brings people in and out of your life. But it appears that is not going to happen. And so once again, like I said, it's turbulent. I don't make enough money. I don't have enough money on any consulting thing I've done or do to pay for this place. And so I'll talk about that here in just a minute on not just the why, but how we got here. Why are we here at this particular juncture? So I've talked a little bit about my why I ended up in Malawi, and I hope this gives you a recorded reasoning. I hope you understand a little bit more. Yes, I sold everything. I don't have a house. I don't have a safety net except God, and I live currently 100% off of support. I've had some contracts that have come and gone. When I was at Nkoma Mission Hospital for almost 2 of the 4 years, doing logistics and operations consulting and construction projects, COVID definitely wiped most of that out. And so, it's been an up and down struggle with finances and living on faith and living on support. But I will tell you this, that most missionaries they are required to raise their own support. So whether it's me asking on Facebook or somebody asking in church or the church asking for the missionary, it all comes from the hearts and souls of people that are moved in the stories and moved in the mission and somebody or something you connect with that they're doing out in the world. Every missionary and every sending agency raises money from donations to support missionaries out in the field. That's why a lot of them do struggle financially and mentally, and that is why a lot of these agencies struggle and sending groups struggle. And it's why every week in church, you should be and usually are talking about missionary work in the field and how that church is doing outreach. I will say this, that even some very close family members to me said that, man, I just don't think God needs all that money to do that. I think he can just do it. I don't think he needs you going or anybody else going to do it. And I will tell you that surprises me when I hear it, especially from Christians and Bible readers, because, you know, the Great Commission obviously says, go make disciples. It doesn't say, all right, I've taught you 12 what to do, but don't worry about it. I've got it. I'm Jesus. Like, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will just move throughout the earth and people will be saved or they won't be saved. Like, it is up to us. It is up to us as soldiers to go recoup souls. It is up to us as fishers of men to go fish and catch souls for the kingdom. That is it. That is your one job. That's it. And so, hope you're doing that in some other way, in any way, in your neighborhood, it has to be outside it should stretch outside your immediate family. It can't be, hey, you know, I'm running a good household and I've got everybody that I'm supposed to captured and we're all going to church. Like, you need to do outreach. Jesus did not tell these disciples, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, Jesus did not tell you, he did not tell the original 12 disciples to just take care of your families, take care of the people that look like you, take care of the people in your country, take care of America first, and then I'll do the rest with everybody else. So if you feel called, compelled to go and do outreach, do it in your neighborhood, do it in another country, however you feel called to do it, or do it through supporting any of us who are out here in the the nether regions to the that are doing the work. So I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you also to find your why. I'm going to take a little break and give you a little break and come back for the second segment of today's episode that is going to talk more about how I got here, how I am in the current situation that I am, and the steps that led to that, because there are a lot of people that are interested in that. So stay tuned. Here's a little word from our one of our quote-unquote sponsors. So yeah, we'll catch you on the next segment. Thank you, guys. Stay tuned for segment number two of God's Idiot Abroad, finding the why and the how we got here. Hey, y'all. Stanley Ray, a.k.a. God's Idiot Abroad, coming to you from Malawi, Africa. Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to ask you, have you visited Full Quiver Farms down in Kemp, Texas yet? If you live in Central or Southwest Texas, you can find their fine products like fresh meats, creamy delicious cheeses and spreads, milk and other dairy products at Whole Foods, co-ops, or fine food and snack stores near you. Tell your favorite store to stock them if they ain't got the message yet. Or just stop by their place in Kemp, Texas. Mike, Debbie, and the family would be glad to see you. For all you far out folks, don't worry. You don't have to actually get in your car if you don't live in Texas. If you can't visit, you can check them out online at FullQuiverFarmsTX.com. That's FullQuiverFarmsTX.com. All right, all right. Welcome back. This is segment two of Finding the Why. It's not really finding the why. It's more reconnecting with your why, if you have found it. And as I said before, if you haven't found it, you need to find a why. You need to write it down. Find your why, not just about your job and relationships, but why are you here on earth? And it can't just be raise good kids. That's a tough job, believe me. And I can't say I know it personally, but I've seen it done, and I've seen it, people struggle with it, and I just can only imagine how tough that job is. But God did not say go raise great kids. He wants your why to be a little different. He wants your answer when you get to him, and the accountability process starts in reviewing your life, and that is promised in the Bible that that will happen. He's probably going to ask you, what was your why? Was it for me or was it for something else? And so we're reconnecting with our why as we've gone through a turbulent year, and definitely a turbulent for a few weeks for me personally. I need to sit down and do this with you. And it helps me to reconnect with my why and remember my why. Why am I here? Why am I 10,000 miles away from family and friends that I grew up with and love very much, especially during the holiday season? You know, it's going to be a heartbreaking holiday season on a few levels. Doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it back. And I know also there will be nuggets of reminding me of the why. There have already been a few of those, some rays of light that have shone through the darkness. And yeah, I just trying to reconnect with that and get refocused as we move into the holiday season and then into a whole brand new year that everybody's scared to death to roll into. I think we're all ready to tell 2021 goodbye, but I remember we were ready to tell 2020 goodbye, and 2021 ended up being worse for a lot of people than 2020. So who knows what 2022 has in store for us, but we'll go into it faithfully and stubbornly and bullheadedly with optimism and power our way into it. So to do that, we're reconnecting with our why, but I wanted to talk about, that's what we did in the first segment. For the second segment, I want to talk about how I got here, because there are a lot of people that are following and they're like, man, all you ever do is ask for money. When is that going to stop? And you know, what happened? Like, you were an executive or you were a vice president at a major transportation logistics provider, like one of the largest in North America. You were moving up. You had plenty of money. You had house that was, you know, going to be paid for soon. You had a truck, a nice truck. I miss my truck that was paid for. You had all these things going for you. Why did you do that? So we talked a little bit about finding the why and leaving a better legacy than what I was leaving in Northwest Arkansas and with JB Hunt and my career. But what happened? How did you get here where now you're living off 100% support currently? So there have been a lot of ups and downs since I've been here. When I started, we raised a little bit of money. I had some savings set up. I did give all of that savings away, or most of it, 80% of it, away to the organization I moved over with. That whole conversation about that organization and everything is a podcast that'll be coming soon, trust me. But I gave them all that money, or I used the money to buy their staff bus, their mini bus that they have still currently, and then operating three mini buses for, I think we started out with two mini buses for income generating activities, and all of that stuff was going great when I left. And so I used that money for that. I used some money to buy me a car whenever I left that organization back in 2018, midway through 2018. So the runway, whenever I moved, the runway was, okay, I have savings enough for a year. I'm going to donate it to this organization. I know that when I ask for that money for the Malawi operation, that I'll be able to get that money, at least to this point. I knew the monthly budget for the operation. I'd already studied that and knew it. And I was their director of global operations, was my official title, director of global operations. So the runway for that was long. And so it looked like they were operating in several different countries. And so after we get Malawi set up, you basically build a franchise of this ministry, if you will, and put it in Uganda, where they were supposedly operating, and then they put it in Ghana, where they were supposedly starting to operate, and then in Kenya, where they were in fact operating with five babies in the feeding program and one staff member there. And so all of these things were longevity building, career building, salary type positions. And then, of course, coming back to raise funds in the U.S. And so that's the guise under which all of this started. So if you think I just really jumped out there and said, hey, there's no plan. I'm just going to go live in Africa and all of that. That is, you couldn't be further from the truth. There were a lot of promises made, a lot of things that did not happen. And so for several reasons, I left that organization. And so that left me without that net. It left me with a little bit of savings. I still had some money that I hadn't donated to them. And God led me to a job out in Nkoma Mission Hospital, just south of Lilongwe. You can Google all these places. If you do, like, it's interesting. Like, you need to Google Malawi. It's a beautiful place. But that job, quote unquote, was a volunteer position, because technically I couldn't make any income at the time in Malawi. And so I was still living off savings. That eventually dwindled down as I was working at Nkoma. While I didn't have rent necessarily, I had to pay some utilities and some other things, and then transport to and from town was always an issue. And so, and then just regular living expenses. And by this time I had brought Pete over. Pete, my dog. Africa Pete, world famous Africa Pete, came over in 2018. So that savings nest egg, it wasn't a ton of money that I hadn't donated. It had dwindled down by this time. So I was in a position where, okay, now I've got to live off support. So I did that for a few months. I did some fundraisers. I have tried to sell mascara. I've tried to sell lipstick. I've tried to sell health and beauty products. I have tried to sell arts and crafts from Malawi. I've tried to sell a ton of things. Like, I do not like begging for money. I don't think anybody likes asking for money, especially when it's just over the internet. And so I have tried so many different things to survive and not be the person always asking for money. But that's always come back to it. And again, as I said in the first segment, like that's just mission life. You know, that's missionary life. It's what you're always going to be raising money for either the agency that you belong to so they can give you back some money after they take their cut, or you're just going to be raising your own money. That's just the lifestyle. Tried to explain that to a lot of people, a few people. So that's the lifestyle you're in when you do this work. That's where I was at Incoma in 2018. So a couple of contracts came through whenever I was out there that paid some of my living expenses. Didn't cover everything, but it paid some of my living expenses, and that put me in a better position for sure. And so for about a year out in Incoma, a year of the two, probably about 8 months of the 2 years I was out there, I had support. And so I could do fun videos and updates and do some really great things in helping people, and started to really reach out to some NGOs and help them and you know, start to branch out. Then COVID came, and you know, someday somebody's going to write a book, or I might write a book that says, "Then COVID happened." They had turned the whole world upside down, as we know. And so I had to move to town. They were very much on essential personnel only. And I actually, I was already living in town. I was just commuting back and forth between La Longue and Incoma, which is about an hour each way. I was catching a ride when my second vehicle I bought here blew up. I was catching a ride with a guy, one of my favorite people. His name's Happy, and he's just a wonderful guy. He lived north of me a bit, north and west of me a bit. And so when he would swing through town, he was able just to come and get me, and then we would go down south to Incoma Mission Hospital, and I would spend my days there, and then we would ride back together usually. And so that's how I got to and from town. So I was already living in town. I was already paying rent. The people I was renting from are Malawians. My rent, I was renting a small guest wing back behind their house. This place was a nice place, I'm not going to lie, but it wasn't very expensive. It was like $550 US. So for everything I got, that security, that's utilities and all that, like it wasn't exorbitant, even though it was in the back of a really nice compound. But the rent that I paid even during that time went to their kids who were going to school abroad. And so it was still helping Malawian youth become stronger Malawian youth. And I loved that. Not to mention their last name was Mzungu, and what they call white people or foreigners over here is Mzungu. And so I was destined to be in that place. But anyway, I was living in town. And so went through a couple of contracts, and though those ended with COVID, during COVID, I just stayed in that flat, and really then I had to raise money online. So that's when you really started to see, you know, 2020. I had a contract that lasted through the first 3 months of 2020, and that came to an end in April 2020. And so then, since then, I've been 100%, well, from April 2020, I was 100% on support. And then that lasted for about a year. So you saw a lot of asking for money, this project. We did a lot of great things even through COVID. We got an orphan and elderly care center up and running and on their own with a bakery, car wash, and a piggery and several other farming inputs that made them self-sustainable. And they still are to this day. They've grown. And so now they're back to asking for a bit of help here and here. But they're just getting their legs under them as they grow again and building up some revenue streams. And so we're able to do some really great things there. But that was all of 2020, and then most of 2021, or the first couple of months of 2021 during COVID, living off support. Everybody's hurting. Like, it was a miserable time for so many people. So you can imagine how asking for money over the internet. Again, I can't come back home. I can't talk to anybody face to face. I can't have meetings, show slides, tell stories like a lot of people normally do that are missionaries. Like, no missionary really could travel, obviously. So it became hard on everybody. And moving into the summer of 2021, I connected with some people off of LinkedIn and we had a great conversation. They were very passionate about the same things I was passionate about in transportation and logistics, and that is dwell and delay time. And that is a lot of things that are choking the supply chain right now. So I was very interested to get involved with them, and they allowed me to come on board as an outside consultant. And so they were paying, I was able to get caught up with what they were paying on some things I was behind on, some projects and some other things, and also start to really plan, okay, like this looks long-term, this looks fantastic. It was a startup, so it was a bit risky, but they had a good runway. They had a lot of great contacts and they were wonderful, beautiful people, and they still are, and they're great Christian guys. And so it felt really good to say, okay, we're going to put our eggs in this basket, right? I don't have a lot of eggs. And I don't have a lot of baskets around. And so when somebody brings you a basket and you don't have a lot of options, you put your eggs in that basket, right? And so that's what I did. And, you know, that went on for 3 months, I want to say, yeah, 3 months, almost four. And they went in for their second round of fundraising, as a startup does. And they failed in that second round of fundraising on really what I would consider a technicality that should have been overlooked, but they didn't get it, point is. And so, you know, we've prayed, we've fasted, we've done all these things. In this time, I have planned a wedding. I have laid out some money. I have then even signed a lease on this place I'm currently in, where my salary covered the rent and the operational expenses for this place. And I thought, okay, for spending money, I'll just make it a guest house and a bed and breakfast. And, you know, we'll get a little extra money each month. People will come stay. And then when teams come, we'll make some good money and then we'll, you know, be solid. And so it was all laid out before me. I prayed, I fasted, I talked to God every day before I signed that lease. And I said, God, if this is not going to work, please don't let me sign the lease. I raised money even to do 3 months of rent and some renovations. And so that happened really quick. Like I raised $5,000 very, very quickly. It came from four different people, but nonetheless, they answered. And so it wasn't like 20 people gave money, but it happened. And I said, God, like, okay, this is a sign. Like, okay, like you gotta show me. And every time I would say, okay, you got to show me or stop me. Show me or stop me. You know, please, if this is not going to work, stop me, stop me, stop me. And so I was never stopped, obviously. I signed a lease, and then 3 weeks after that is when they got the notification that they were going to lose their funding and that they weren't going to be able to pay me beyond a certain point, which was the end of September. And so, yeah, or October. And so That's why I'm in this position of having to raise a lot of money to rent on this place. You can imagine a 5-bedroom, huge garden, mature garden, swimming pool house with a huge kitchen, and then a separate owner's cottage. Like, it is not cheap. I was getting paid an amount. So I was getting paid, I was getting paid $2,000 a month for the consulting stuff, and it covered it. It covered everything plus some operational expenses. And I felt like when I signed the lease, okay, this is God just saying, hey, you know, like I've got you, this is what you're going to do. You're going to have Christian teams that are going to come in. You're going to be able to branch out and do ministry, have people over to the house, do ministry at the house and do all those things. And so obviously that didn't work out, and we don't know why. Like, nobody knows why, but God. It was heartbreaking, heart-wrenching. It was gut-wrenching. I don't know what other term to use. It was extremely disappointing. So that's why, that's how we are where we are with needing such a huge amount of money replaced that I lost that was going to pay for this. This is going to be a nice and easy slam dunk, where, you know, I wasn't going to have to ever ask for money again. But that just tells you, you know, it's a test of faith. It is the devil getting in there. God doesn't, I don't feel, I'm one of these people that, like, I don't feel like God has a vindictive, since the second covenant, I don't feel like God has a vindictive spirit. I think we are forgiven and loved by God and led by God. And these things that happen are the devil getting involved and messing up our plans. And then our reaction to that is a testimony to our faith in God. So that's where I am at. And like, I don't have a fiance anymore. I don't know how I'm going to make rent next week. I have no clue how I am going to come up with the amount of money that I need to make 3 months worth of rent next week, the 2nd of December. Like, and then salaries, you know, staff salaries on top of that. But I rely on my network. I rely on communications like this. And I appreciate everybody. If you've hung in this far, I appreciate you so much. And I hope you've learned some things. And I hope you understand a little bit better that I didn't just do a foolish thing. Putting your faith in God, no matter what, is never a foolish thing. When you've prayed about it, you've fasted about it, you're not going from lust or passion or greed or any of these other sins that get a hold of us. When you really slow down and think about it, and I feel like I have done that each step of this journey from all the way in 2016 when I first came to 2017 when I put in my notice. All of it was very intentional and very thought out and very prayerful, even though the years before that, like, I hadn't said a lot of prayers. So that's how we are here. And that is the wall that we're facing. And all of these things have been torn. I've sold almost everything I have over here. I haven't sold Pete. I'm not going to sell Pete. I thought we were going to have to do that earlier this year, but everybody proved me wrong and God proved me wrong. I was willing to give up everything for this ministry, and that included Pete. He's like my son. I don't have a son, so that included that. And I have sold my drum set. I haven't sold my guitar. I've sold my camera, my Sony camera. How many pictures of elephants do you need? You know what I'm saying? So and so I'm here with an almost busted iPhone. I'm here with a torn up laptop. And I don't know when each of these things are going to die. I feel like that's the way the devil's going to attack me next. But then how am I going to respond? And so I want to get the word out to everybody. If you have supported me in this mission and you know, even through the failures, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. The little messages and the words and of course, the, you know, like the financial support, the prayers and all that, they all go hand in hand to keep the heart ticking. Literally. And so they all build up missionaries out in the field. If you are not involved in supporting mission work and spreading the gospel and supporting a missionary, I encourage you to, whether it is me or somebody else in your local church, it doesn't matter. You just need to be involved. You need to find your why, and you need to stick with it and refresh yourself every so often about what is your why. And I don't mean your why on why you started, you know, crafting, or why you started this business, or why you're in this career, or, you know, why you're doing this particular thing for your personal gain. I mean, spiritually, what is your why? And so as we revisit that, and then we get to the point of, okay, like, I'm really at the edge of a cliff here. And what am I going to do with my faith? And what are you guys going to do to hear this, to respond to it? And, you know, either spread the word and talk about this for Thanksgiving instead of talking about gossip or talking about, you know, the football game. Like, man, I do miss some football a little bit. Woo pig. And so, you know, whether it's talking about all that, all the other distractions, like, instead of talking politics or COVID garbage and just all this negative stuff that's going on, it's tearing families and people and lives apart. Maybe talk about this. And maybe get some people together and say, you know what, we're going to help the guy. I know that there's a bunch of people on that follow along that could, with just the groups that they hang out with, take care of all of the financial needs I would ever have for 1 year. But I also know that a lot of those people already support a lot of other people. And so I get it. I got a lot of people who love on people and care about people and, you know, are spread thin in their love and giving. And that's a beautiful thing. But I think there are also some people that could, you know, come along and help and be a partner for 2022. We're going to do some great things. We are going to get Tusa, the young woman that you've seen me post. We're going to get her and her son, Jeremy, my godson. He is my Facebook profile picture right now. We're going to get them back to the States. We're going to work with a couple of different organizations, and we're going to get them back to the States for some months so they can tell their testimony. Her testimony is amazing. It inspires me as a 48-year-old man. What she has been through in her 22-year young life is amazing. You will not believe it when you hear it. So we are going to work very, very hard, do our due diligence, get the visas done, work in God's will, and get her back to the States. Plus, maybe another friend of mine who has done ministry over here, and he's one of my besties over here. I love this guy. He needs to come back to the States as well. So we're working on getting that done. We're working on building up a farm in the middle of some witchcraft villages and a Muslim village, like a Muslim area. We just want people to have an alternative to hear the gospel. So we're building up that community farm and working on that in 2022. We have big plans for that. We're also going to work with the folks out in Zaleka who have come a long way. We're just going to help them build up some of their businesses to be self-sustainable. The whole idea in this is for these young folks, these Malawian and the refugees out in Zaleka, these young folks who have been through so much, just to give them a leg up to become self-sustainable. It is not to collect donations for the rest of their lives. They want to get out of that. They need to get out of that. So we're going to do that, but all the while focusing on the ministry and how we solidify their footing and their foundation in the gospel to where they can spread it to the unreached that are still left here in Malawi and then maybe out in other regions. So got a lot of that planned. I want to get back to the U.S. I'm working hard and hopefully we'll be able to do that. One, I need a break. I'm losing my mind. Like I'll just be honest with you. I think we're at a point where if you stuck around this long, you're almost family. This is almost a 50-minute podcast. And so, I truly am losing my mind with everything that's happened. I still got faith in God. I still got that. But everybody needs a break. I need to come up for air a little bit. And, I'm just at that point. So hopefully I can get back home and hug my mom's neck, if not for Christmas, then for my birthday next year. And that'd be such a blessing if anybody can come along and help there. So we have all of those things going on for 2022, and I hope it's going to be a beautiful year. I hope it's going to be less turbulent than 2020 and 2021, and I hope it is not just for us here. I want it for everybody listening. Like, that is my prayer for you, is that everybody gets a little breather and a little break during this holiday season with the people you love. Sending my love to everybody, and remember those who do not have people to spend the holiday with, whether they're missionaries out in the field, military, giving their hearts and souls out there protecting our freedoms, whether it's just anybody traveling on business, truck drivers that are out there moving goods around as best they can in this mess. Just remember the folks and remember the folks who have passed. Like, we have lost a lot of people in the last 2 years unexpectedly because of this plague that has crippled the earth. And so just remember those folks. Keep an open spot at the table for them, say a prayer for them, and love on the people who are affected by their absence, whatever the reason may be. So I'll leave you with that. Thank you so much for sticking around. I'm going to leave the link in the comments of all of the social media posts if you want to give. If you want to give and it be tax advantageous, if you're in the U.S., 501c3 registered, have a couple of those that are partners with some of the folks that I've mentioned. And so we can get you all the documentation you need. Just reach out to me and say, hey, I want to give. I want to convert stock. That's always a great way to give for both the giver and the receiver. I know a lot of people, like JB Hunt stock hit 200. Like, imagine, like, I would be so rich if I would have stayed. But there are a lot of rich people. JB Hunt right now, this year with stock hitting 200. And so if you want to give stock, you're one of those people, you work for a corporation or you work for a company that does that kind of thing, I can get you set up and hooked up with that. We need it in an urgent way. Everything that I'm talking to you about does have some urgency with it, especially the rent coming next week. And so I want to thank you for thinking about that. I want to thank you for spreading the word. This should be an easy thing to share. It should be an easy thing to talk about, and it should be an easy thing, I hope, to listen to. Everybody says I have a face and a voice for radio. So when I do the videos, I think it scares the children. They don't upload very fast. This is always the best way to communicate. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much for hanging in there. As I always say, God bless, stay safe, stay well, and definitely, definitely take care of each other.